6 years ago, I walked into the service feeling as though the church was not going to make it another week. I looked out at the joyful congregation gathering in the building, and I realized how much I loved them. My heart broke as I pictured myself standing up on the stage the next Sunday to announce that we would be closing our doors. The music began to play, signaling the start of the worship service, and I closed my eyes to focus on the Lord and to praise Him in spite of the circumstances. All of a sudden, I was overwhelmed by His presence, and He spoke to me, "Great things are coming."
Amen. Amen. All right. All right. Well, I'm sure you know that's Pastor Chuck, our great pastor who wrote Great and Mighty Things. And man, it's so cool to just read this book and hear the great and mighty things that God has done in his life. Some of you may or may not even know the story of Crossroads Church, and that's what the book talks about. And I don't want to spoil it for you. You can the book is out on Amazon right now. I believe you can get it on your Kindle or your Nook or wherever you get your books. But I think in a couple of weeks it'll be out, so you can buy the book and check it out. And it's really cool that Generate has mentioned he has a strong heart and passion for the next generation. That's why we're here with one of the largest youth groups in all the country. And we don't say that to be boastful. It just shows the passion of our pastor. So just want to give it up for him one more time. Absolutely. Yeah. Want to welcome everybody who's online. Man, I tell you, my wife, and I'm actually going to go ahead and pray for her because I don't know if she's quite made it yet, but there are a ton of people. If you're looking around like, man, where are everybody? They're probably all having a party on the freeway right now because everybody's stuck, including my wife. So maybe people will be trickling in as we go along, and that's totally fine. But I do want to go ahead and pray for all of those out there. May seem like something we don't need to do, but I'm telling you, there are a lot of people that are stuck on the roads trying to get here, including my wife. So let's just pray for everybody real quick. Father, I just thank you that for those who did make it through. We don't know, if things are safe for everybody. We don't know where everybody's headed, if they're in a hurry, if people are getting frustrated out there. We know how it can be in traffic. So I pray for those who are trying to make their way down to Generate tonight. Pray for my wife as she tries to get here, that she stays calm because she loves to be here when I preach, and she's not here right now, and she's making her way down. But we just pray for everyone's safety as they travel down to get to hear about you and fellowship and with their brothers and sisters here and worship. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all right. Well, real quick before we get started, a couple quick announcement type things. We talked last week about U-Pick. How many of you remember what we talked about U-Pick? Raise your hand if you remember that. Some of you, okay, good. Most of you remember U-Pick. Well, basically, real quick, what it's going to be is as we talk about great and mighty things, it's quite simple. I want to be able to do great and mighty things for someone else. And for us, it's going to just be able to impact our community right here in our surrounding community. I don't know, maybe it's Corona, maybe it's a city a few miles down the road or wherever it may be, but we want to do something. We want to do something big. We want to show God's power. So here's what we're going to do. It's real simple. The way we decided to do it is you got to go to Facebook, and there is a slot. I just put a message up. Some of you have already started picking. You're basically going to say what you want to do that's great and mighty for the community. It could be maybe you want to do help out the homeless. Maybe you want to do orphans and widows. Or maybe you want to, it could be anything, prison ministry, anything. Wherever your passion is, we want to do something that you guys are most passionate about. So just go ahead and make sure you do that. I want to hear from you guys because I just don't want to, I can easily just do what I want to do, but I want to do what we want to do so we can be passionate about it together. So go to the Generate Facebook page and you'll see where it says, hey, you pick, and it'll tell you all about it. And then you just list what you want, right? Hey, I want to do homeless. Hey, my passion is my, and the most that we get, we'll go ahead and we'll do that together. So that's cool. So I'm excited about that. That's the great and mighty thing that I want to do. And as we collect those, I'll announce what we're going to do. We'll pray and ask God, where should we implement the U-Pick, where we should go. In terms of, say, if you picked homeless, well, what shelter should we go to? Or what tent community should we go to? And we'll figure it out. So that's going to be exciting. So I'm excited about that. Trunk and Treat. Continue to volunteer for Trunk and Treat. That's getting close. In case some of you, I don't want to assume everybody even knows what that is. I'm going to put a picture up next week of some of the decorated cars from last year when they did. It's pretty cool. But you decorate your car. We're trying to get about 300 cars, and we want to. Generate has done a good job of volunteering around here. I want to keep that going, and so it'll be fun. So we want to go ahead and do that. I'm sure you see people walking around in red saying, hey, how you doing? Here's the door. Here's the bathroom. Here's this. Here's that. That's our connections team. So just if anyone wants to be a part of that, I know some of you ask, how can I get involved with Generate? How can I? Well, the connection team is one way to get involved. And they meet in the family room every Wednesday at 6 o'clock. You can talk to anyone in a red shirt. And then a lot of people are wearing red shirts. Pretty soon they have T-shirts. You don't want to walk up to somebody, got a red shirt on, they're like, connections. I don't even know what you're talking about. So, you know, so just make sure you go and see someone and ask them, are they with the connections team? And I'm excited to announce this. Any junior hires in here right now, just by curiosity, anybody in junior high school, junior high? I know there are a couple of you, because most of your comrades, they do the Monday night worship, you know, and certainly you're welcome to go to the Monday night. High school, where are you at? High school? Where are you, high school? All right. So high school's got the Monday night jumping over in the fellowship hall at 6:30. It's right behind us here in the fellowship hall, 6:30. And then junior high, 6:30 over here in the Plex with Pastor No. So now, okay. Now, college, where you at, college? Where you at, college? College, we normally meet Thursday night. So here's what I find out. I do my homework, college, and I figure out that, you know, that's back-to-back nights from a college young adult, you know. And so what we're doing starting Monday, college is moving to Monday nights, 6:30. Yeah, Monday night, 6:30, we'll be right there in the London. Okay, right at the London Institute, 6:30, starting Monday. So every group, Generate as a family, will all be worshiping and learning, depending on where you are. If you're over in junior high, you're worshiping. If you're over in high school, you're like doing gin wars and throwing paintballs at people. And then you learn about the Lord after people get hit with paintballs. And then over in college, we'll be learning university style, learn about the Lord. And then we play games at the end, have a good time. So it'll be cool to see everybody there. Man, a lot of announcements. I feel like a person doing a lot of announcements. BT. Yeah. Woo! Oh, love it. Stick around at the end. Like I said, I know of us, a lot of us is stuck in traffic and they'll be coming, but stick around at the end because we're going to honor BT in a very, very cool way. They've accomplished something amazing. I want to stick around and I want to honor them. All right. Online. How you doing online? Give it up for online. Online, hopefully you're not stuck in traffic. You know, you maybe if you are, then, you know, yeah, hey, if you're stuck in traffic and you can hear me, watch online. Now, how can they do that? They can't do that. Okay. So, look, in the last couple of months, we've talked about a couple of different series that I think prepare us for the Great and Mighty Things series. We've talked about the Grace series, where we went over the unearned love and salvation that we get from God. The Surplus series, amazing. The life that is good, pleasing, and perfect. And then now we're talking about Great and Mighty Things. And I believe these two series have set us up well because in order to experience Great and Mighty Things, in order to do this, you have to take care of those two first. I think you have to, you definitely have to believe and accept God's grace for what it is. You have to believe that that exists. You have to believe in that. That kind of motivates you to even want to have a close relationship with Jesus Christ after you see what he's done for you. And then the Surplus series, you have to believe that God has designed a good, pleasing, perfect will for you. You have to believe those two things. That's why we talked about those. Because the great and mighty things, man, those things are activated by faith. When you read Pastor Chuck's book, and I don't want to blow it for you. I don't want to tell too much. But I'm telling you, Pastor Chuck's journey for Crossroads to be where it is, it took some huge leaps of faith. And that's why when we say great and mighty, we do mean great and mighty. The scripture says great and mighty. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah 33:3 is where this comes from. Now, here's something that I want to do a little bit differently that I don't always do. I say it, but I'm gonna challenge you right now. Get your Bibles out right now. Get your Bibles out right now. And I want you to look at these scriptures. And today, because we're talking about great and mighty things, and the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you don't believe scripture, I cannot help you today. Online, if you don't believe scripture, man, I cannot help you today. Because this is all about having our faith in scripture, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. So right off the bat, with these scriptures today, I'm gonna ask you to think about it. Do you really believe what you just read? Do I really believe that? And the answer has to be yes. It has to be yes, because if it's not, it's gonna be real hard to experience great and mighty things. Because if you don't believe it, and you won't trust it, and then you won't trust that God can do great and mighty things for you. Jeremiah 33:3, one of Pastor Chuck's favorite verses. And this is what he based the book off of. It says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and mighty things you do not know. See, the reason we have to have faith, just look at that scripture. Jesus is wanting to tell us great and mighty things that we what? That we don't know. So it takes faith and trust to find these things out, to search these things out, to spend time with God, to find out what are these great and mighty things. Then you got to believe in great and mighty. Now, does great and mighty sound like, okay, which one of these amounts is great and mighty? I'm just using money because we can all relate to money. If I say, man, I give you a great and mighty tip, $5. Does that sound great and mighty? How about 5 million? Okay, right? See, that's what God is talking about here, great and mighty. Not your everyday average ordinary blessing. Not your everyday average ordinary life. You know, and I think when we talk about these things, I don't want to give another message where it's just like, well, that sounded cool. No, do you believe these things? So right off the bat, do you believe that if you get a connection with Jesus Christ, if you get wrapped up in God and you care about the things he cares about, that he will show you great and mighty things that you do not know? Raise your hand if you believe that. Okay, all right, well, we're off to a good start then. Okay, so we got that belief going. Okay, good. Okay, good. So in order to experience great and mighty things for you, you have to accept and believe in the surplus life that God has for you. You have to believe in God's grace. All right. So like I said, the issue is not believing that this is for you. Now, the way I've set this series up, and this is going to be really, really cool. Seeing testimony, I'll back up a little bit. One of the things that helped me believe, because I had trouble. I told you guys, I just thought Christianity was fake, because of the people that I would see saying they're Christian, didn't watch them live their lives. But when I saw somebody really living it out, that really changed me. And I think the same thing for this great and mighty things. To see it happen to somebody would be inspiring, and you'd believe it because you've seen it happen. That's why Pastor Chuck wrote a book, because I bet he knows that the world doesn't believe a lot of the things that scripture says God has for us. So what I've decided to do with this series is I want you to hear some real life, great and mighty things stories from people you see around here every single day. Every single day. And it's gonna start with me. Today I'm gonna tell you my great and mighty story. And I'm gonna ask God to help me get through this simply because, man, there are a lot of pieces to this. And this isn't a sad story at all. It is an incredible story. But I wanna share it with you, so, because I know for everyone that you get a chance to meet, that I bring up here, because I'm gonna bring different people up here to help tell their great and mighty stories. I'm kind of gonna interview them right here. It's gonna be really, really cool. Not today, but just throughout the series. Today, I'm gonna start with myself. As you can see, I bet you one of us is represented in that crowd. Like, don't raise your hands, but I bet you there's someone out there struggling with faith. I bet there's someone out here struggling with trusting God with things you don't know. I bet there's someone out here struggling with lust and fornication, internet, you know, pornography, things like that. You're out here somewhere. I bet there's someone that struggles with depression. I bet there's someone out here that may struggle with weight issues and eating and things like that. I bet there's someone that struggles with drug selling, being in the world, gang life. There's someone out there with that. And I'm telling you, all the areas I just named, someone's going to come up here throughout this series over the next 4 weeks and show you great and mighty things that has happened in their life from having a connection with Christ, from letting God take over and changing them. So that way, it won't just be words. You'll see, like, man, I didn't know they went through that. Wow, man, you'll believe that it can happen to you. And so I'm going to go ahead, and I'm just going to start with myself. For me, it was prayer. Now, we'll ask you to raise hands on this. And you know, don't be shy about it. How many of you struggle with believing that no matter what you pray about, no matter what you pray about, God hears all your prayers. He'll answer all your prayers. You know, he cares about the little things. Like when you pray, you feel a connection to God and he's answering these prayers. He'll give you an answer. Does anybody struggle with that? Yeah, so we got a few people. We got a few people that struggle with that. I used to struggle with it. And when I say struggle with it, let me kind of break that down a little bit. I'm saying that a lot of times when I say I want to do something and I have a plan and I'm going over it in my head and it sounds real good, when someone says, well, did you pray about it? See, that used to make me mad. Because now I got to wait. And I'm like, man, it's not like when I say the prayer, God's going to be like, yeah, you should do that. It's a good idea. Like, you know, it usually happens through like time and days and waiting and seeking and all these different things. And I didn't like to do that. Also, I don't know if you're like me, but do you think God really cares, you know, I don't know, what major you pick when you choose a college? Does God really care about that? Some of you wonder about these things. Does God really care who I choose for a boyfriend or a girlfriend? I mean, is it really wrong to just pick the cute buff one, you know? Is it wrong to pick the smart one who I think will be engineer one day? I don't know. It's like, does he care? It's just a relationship. That's kind of how I was, you know? Can do whatever. So that's what I struggle with. So just so you can know the struggle. So the great and mighty story that I have, and I've been waiting to tell this, is how I actually ended up here. You've heard me hint at it. I never really got a chance to totally tell it. So I get to tell it today. Now, obviously, I know my own story. But those of you who know me, I will humbly say, man, it doesn't take anything for me to just go off on a tangent. And next thing I know, it's time to go. So I literally had to write points here just to keep me focused and on track. So if you see me looking down, that's what I'm doing. Like, man, you can't still talk about that for 30 minutes. So that's what I'm looking here to do. Okay, so this is a story about how I got here. It's a great amount of story, and I'm really, really excited about it to share it with you. So my story begins with me retiring from football. Some of you may or may not know, I played professional football for a lot of years, and for my life, if you know my testimony, that's all I knew. Football did everything. Okay, so it was time to stop. 2008, I played my last game in Europe. We won the Super Bowl. We did great. I went out with a bang, and I came back. Now, when you've been playing football for as long as I have now, it's like, okay, well, what do I do now? Okay, what do I do? And so I didn't ask God what I should do next. Okay, like now I'm a guy that's always barking about, man, Jeremiah 1:5. Well, I wasn't a Jeremiah 1:5 guy back then. I wasn't a Psalms 139:16 guy back then where I knew God mapped out my life and all these things. Like I wasn't as serious about seeking God for everything as I am now. So for me, I just use my common sense. You know, what makes sense to me? What would be a good choice of things to do? So I didn't ask God what I should do next. So I just started thinking about what I wanted to do. So the first thing is me, I hate it. I don't know, raise your hand if you hate having a boss. I hate having a boss, man. Fold that shirt, you know? You know what I mean? You know, just always telling you what to do. So I was like, I'm going to find me a job where I'm my own boss. Now, that's just something that I wanted to do. So the first thing that I looked at as I looked around is real estate. So I go and I take the real estate exam, and I haven't asked God anything. Because again, I want you to follow me with this. Who cares? It's not sinful. It's not bad. Is it bad to want to be a real estate agent, guys? Anybody here want to be a real estate agent? They're like, hey, online, no one wants to be a real estate agent. Well, I did, because they didn't have a boss. I mean, there was a guy that walks around, act like he the boss, but he ain't the boss. My old boss, like, I was the boss. No, you wasn't the boss. You know, you kind of run your own business, and I like that. You just run around. And I saw that the payoff, you sell one house, man, you could not work for, you know, months. I mean, this is coming from a guy who was playing football and kind of did my own thing. So I said, you know, I want to be a real estate agent. I knew people in the business where I live, so it would be a good and easy start and thing for me to do. So I go, I sign up for that. It isn't sinful. God doesn't care. I can be a real estate agent. And honestly, here's the other thing we do. And you're going to see me talk about this a lot. When we want to do something, we put like what I call spiritual insurance on it. And this is how you do. All you got to do is make sure you do something godly with it, and then God should be okay with it. That's how you put spiritual insurance on it, that God will let it happen. You know, whether we ask him or not. So for me, real estate agent, I'm like, man, I heard that people say real estate agents and car salesmen and people that sell things are dishonest. Man, I'm going to be the most honest real estate agent out there. And then look, matter of fact, you talk to so many people, you can build relationships and you can witness too. That's how I could. You say that, God won't take it from you. That's kind of how it is. You know, just involve him in some kind of way. Don't ask him, just involve him. You know, that's how we do with spiritual insurance. So that's what I started to do. But here's what happened. Now, some of you may not know about this, but it doesn't matter. It just helps the story kind of flow along. 2008. And I didn't even know anything about this, but the whole like economy just went down. You know, everything just got messed up. So no one was buying houses. So that was awful for me, and I quit. I immediately quit. I was like, okay, well, this isn't going to work. But see, a scripture comes to mind right away. And again, I'm going to ask you, do you really believe this? See, for me, I didn't ask God what I should do next. I just did what I wanted to do. But let's look at Bibles out online. Proverbs 16:9, okay? Let's take this slow. We've seen these, but I want to ask you, do you really believe it? Okay, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Do you believe that? Raise your hand if you 100% believe that. Raise your hand. All right, cool. Well, then what is that saying? It's saying we can have all these cool ideas like being real estate agents and all these different things. But God directs your steps. We can plan, and you can want to do it with all your heart and have all these great, you know, spiritual insurance type things, but God directs your steps. And so that's why, you know, now am I saying that, I am saying that. I was getting ready to say, you know, who knows, maybe even if God wanted me to do the real estate thing, it still would have crashed. I don't know. But the bottom line is, I know for a fact I didn't ask him. I didn't consult him about any of it. So that's just the first thing. So that didn't work. So what's next? So I'm sitting here with no job, and I started to think, you know what? I can still run. I'm going back to football. So that, again, I did not ask God. I just say, I'm going to go back to football. That's what I know. There was a team in town, and so I went to try and go play. Things were going well. I had this nice long run, and then somebody hit me, and then remember I broke my ribs. I've never broken ribs. Anybody ever here broke ribs before? Any rib breakers? It's awful, isn't it? It's awful. It is awful. So these two ribs, here's my ribs, okay? I got hit and they were like, plick-up. That's what they did. And I'm moving around and I can just feel that this isn't connected. And then I took my shoulder pads off and said, your ribs are broken. He knew right away. And so it was the worst pain ever. And when I tell you the worst pain ever, you rib breakers know what I'm talking about. Anything you do hurts. You laugh, you breathe. You smile, you think, thinking hurts, you know? Everything hurts when your ribs are messed up. You have to sleep, like sit in a certain way, it's awful. And to this day, I think that happened so that God, I really do believe this. Now, I don't have proof, but man, I would have chased football forever. That was the last thing, and I remember looking at my wife, or looking at Livette, and saying, I'm never playing again. Because I started to study up on the whole rib breaking thing, you guys will know. Those ribs, now my ribs broke out, but if they would have broke in, you can puncture lungs and things and get yourself killed. And I was like, man, okay, look, I get it, God. Forget it. I'm not going to play anymore. So now I want to let you know, at this time, I was a close follower of Christ, very, very close. But there are certain areas you struggle in. For me, it was prayer. I prayed about certain things, but I didn't go for this whole direction and guidance thing. So that's what happened with the football. So I said, I'm not going to play no more. And then, so the next thing, I said, okay, well, what's next? So then I'm sitting here watching TV, and I see on cable, you ain't gonna believe this one. And God took me out of this one real fast. I'm seeing that cable guys, like Jim Carrey, is making like $85,000, $90,000. I saw it on the TV. I'm like, huh. So I go down, I sign up, I say, look, I'm gonna be a cable guy. You know, I'm be a cable guy. And I thought about it. In the town that the hardest part about being, now this is the door-to-door cable guy. The guy comes up and says, hey, you know, and tries to sell the cable stuff. Yeah, I did that. But see, for me, I figure, you know, people know me, you know. And they know me from football. And it may be easy. And then, remember, I had to add my spiritual insurance, too. It's like, and plus, it's an opportunity to meet people because you can talk and have, you know, holy conversations. And, you know, you never know. Somebody gets saved. They don't get cable, but they go to heaven. You know what I mean? You know, so go do it. So I'm going to be, you know, and then again, all these jobs, I don't have anybody being my boss, which I love. I go out, I sell as much as I can, I go home. It's up to me. Only way you lose your job is if you don't sell anything. So I said, oh, this would be easy for me. I'm a people person. I'm not afraid of people or whatever. So I go and I'm doing that. Now, here's what happens. I go and I knock on the door and a little kid comes, and a little kid, maybe 12 years old, comes, opened up, and he goes, and shut the door. You know, and I'm just like, you know, okay. And so I was starting to leave, and the door opened back up, and there was a boy's mother, and then he's behind, with her leg or whatever, looking. And she says, well, my son says you're some sort of famous football player, like that. And I said, you know, I mean, I don't play anymore, but I did. And then so the son runs away, and he comes back with a glove. It was a glove from when I played pro that I signed for the kid. And he said, you gave me this. And I'm like, oh, that's cool, man. So he's like, so what happened? Why are you the cable man now? And nothing against you cable men out there or whatever. I was fine. I was pumped, you know. And then the kid made me feel like, I'm like, and then so here I am. You know, I'm like, well, you know, things happen, man. And, you know, this is just what I'm doing now, and, you know, whatever. So, you know, he's just like, okay, well, I liked you better when you were playing football, you know. I knew what he meant. Y'all know what he meant. So I'm like, okay. So anyway, so shut the door. So I leave, and it's like a movie. I'm not making any of this up. You can ask my wife whenever she get off the freeway, because she's still not here. I'm walking, I'm leaving, and can you imagine how I felt? I'm walking or whatever, and then all of a sudden, man, like the movies, it started raining. No joke. You know, the thunder, and it's just raining. So my little hat is dripping. It's like a movie. I'm like, man, it stinks. You know, and then you start thinking you're better than this job. Like, I'm better than this and all these different things. And so, yeah, so I quit the cable business. Obviously, you knew that was coming. So then I started thinking about, what else could I do, you know? And then I said, okay, I tried this, I tried that, I tried this, I tried that. I'm still not asking God, really. I'm like, you know, there got to be something that I can do that can be a little bit more profitable yet honorable, you know, or whatever, try to figure it all out. And I said, what do I know really, really well? And I said, personal training, you know, and it's something that, you know, you don't have to, you can just jump right into that, you know. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to be a personal trainer. That's what I'm going to do. And so here's what I did. I put on a tank top, okay, because, you know, couldn't afford business cards. I quit selling cable. So I put on a tank top, and I just started walking around Walmart. I wasn't trying to buy anything. I'm just putting stuff in the car, walking around, you know. You know, walking around. And this lady says, and she, you know, she may have been in her 40s or so. She said, well, I declare, you must just live in the gym. I said, well, actually, I'm trying to start one, you know. I'm trying to start a gym. You should be my first client, you know. I can help you out. You looking to train somewhere? And she needed to lose 50 pounds. I helped her lose 50 pounds. Long story short, boom, Triumph Fitness is born. I'm running a gym. You know, I trained a few people in a high school gym. I made her lose 50 pounds. So I was showing the pictures all around. I made enough money to get certified. Now, in my mind, I did set a few, I kept with the spiritual insurance. I love that little term now. I said that if you, this is what I did, because things were going well. And guys, I want to tell you, I'm not saying that when things go well in your life, that is not God, but prayer helps you to be sure that is God and not maybe something else trying to distract you from what God wants. Because not every good idea is a God idea. You know what I mean? You don't know. So without prayer, it helps. Because with me, things start rolling. All these people were coming. I had all these classes going. And things got so good to where I said a prayer. It actually scared me it was going so good. So I did pray. So here's my prayer. I said, God, if you allow me to get out of this high school gym and get my own business, man, I'm going to honor you with it. And I did, guys. I had my logo had three crosses on it over a guy that was doing like this with weights. It was, and I called it Triumph Fitness, Conquer Your Body. I used 1 Corinthians 9:24-27 as the scripture, you know, saying that, you know, beat your body and make it a slave. I had scriptures all over the wall. You couldn't cuss in my place. If you cuss, you had to do push-ups and things like that. You know, I had all kinds of stuff going. And this was my way of saying, I mean, it was going so well, I didn't want God to take it from me. So again, you come with the spiritual insurance. I'm like, look at all the good godly stuff I'm doing. I had, you know how you go to a hotel and there's like the Gideon Bible is in the, I had Bibles on my toilet. Like in my bathrooms, I had Bibles on the toilet. You forget magazines, you're reading scripture because I don't want God to make me do anything else. Scriptures all over the walls. I never played any foul music. Everything was always God honoring. So I'm like, man, because I wanted to stay where I was. Now, one prayer went up like, God, do you want me to do this? No. I just kept creating Christian-y things. I even had something called Faith Fit. I was like, God's going to really love this. Hadn't asked him anything, but he'll love this one. That basically, if you came to my gym and you came to my Bible study, then you could come to one of my classes for free. I'm like, look at that, God, not even charging them. You know what I mean? Just all the godly stuff that I can do. Then we were planning to do this homeless thing. I had a 2,000 square foot place. At night when everybody's gone, so we open up the big garage doors, a big, huge garage door, kind of like ours here, let all the homeless people in, feed them, and then you got to get out before we start classes the next morning. You know, it's better than nothing. You know, that's what I was. So this is where I was. And I was just like, man, God's definitely going to let me keep this going because I'm honoring him and I'm doing all these different things. But here's where I learned one of the biggest lessons of my life, right here. One of the biggest lessons, that just because what I was doing was God honoring didn't mean that the certain thing that I was doing was God's plan. Just because it's God honoring, I mean, you should always do God honoring things. But just because you're honoring God with something, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's his plan for you, like his personal thing that he wants you to do. And here's what I mean by that. I want to make sure you understand this. Bible's out. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 17 through 20. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 17 through 20. Look at this. This is Solomon talking about David. Check this out. It says in verse 17, then Solomon said, my father David wanted to build this temple to honor the name of the Lord. What is he trying to do? Trying to honor God, trying to honor the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord told him, you wanted to build the temple to honor my name. Your intention is good, but you are not the one to do it. One of your sons will build the temple to honor me. Verse 20, and now the Lord has fulfilled the promise he made, for I have become king in my father's place, and I now sit on the throne of Israel, just as the Lord promised. I have built this temple to honor the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. Did you guys catch that? It was a cool, good, honoring thing that God said was, it's cool that you were going to do that. I'm glad your heart was right and you wanted to honor me. However, I don't want you to do it. You see, and I honestly feel like this is something that was getting ready to happen to me with Triumph Fitness. See, because I had no intentions of doing anything else. Nothing was going to move me. I mean, when you come from where I had come from with the three jobs that I had had and what I'm doing now, I'm my own boss. I run my own business. And the path that I was on, it would make six figures pretty soon. I had the Faith Fit going. I had all the classes going. It was incredible. So I had no intention of doing anything else. But now here's where it starts to get great. I haven't even gotten to the great and mighty part. This is the setup for all the great and mighty stuff. So I had no intention of doing anything else. Now, who's seen the movie? I know it's a marriage movie, but maybe some of you seen it anyway. Who's seen the movie Fireproof with Kirk Cameron? Fireproof. Okay, good. A lot of you guys saw Fireproof. Okay, so I go with my wife to see Fireproof. And we're sitting there, and now, going into that movie, I thought I was a pretty good husband. You know, I'm you know, even if you ask her that, she said, yeah, TC is, you know, after Fireproof, I was like, I'm the worst ever. I'm the worst husband ever, you know, I'm all, and then you're looking in the, back at the other people in the theater, and then they're crying. Guys are like, oh, I should have never did that. You know, I can't wait to do the love dare. I love you. Like, it's all these different things. And so I'm looking around. Now, this is a part that doesn't really matter with the story, but a few years back, 2004, because this is 2008, 2009 we're talking about, I did some stuff on TV. When I was a kid, I did stage plays and stuff like that. So the acting thing was kind of in my back pocket, but I was a football guy. I never really, you know, I wouldn't look for that to be a career because it takes too much work. And hey! Yay! Online, like, what's going on? My wife arrived, so I'm ready. I'm ready now. Okay, all right. Okay, good. Okay. Hope everybody made it safe. Everybody who was on their way out. Man, you messed me up now. I don't know what I was talking about. What was I talking about, y'all? Who? Who the what? The who? Oh, Fireproof. Okay. they like the vacuum. I'm like, the what? Okay, so Fireproof. I was actually telling, and you guys can ask her this stuff. It's totally true. So we watched Fireproof, remember? Good husband. No, you're not. Awful after Fireproof, right? So, and all the guys were crying. And so I looked around and saw the power from the film. And I remember saying to myself, man, remember when I was acting? I said, you know what? As a man of God, there's a lot of movies out there, you know, I couldn't do. But I'm telling you, man, those Kendrick brother guys, they got it going on. They know what they're doing. I said, man, if I ever was to do a film, man, it'd be with them. You know what? Man, I'm going to work with those guys one day. And you can ask her if I said that. And I don't know if I really believed it, but I guess I believed it some. But I was like, man, I'm going to work with those guys one day. So I had said that. But nonetheless, so I kept that in my back pocket. But you know, you guys know, I'm happy at Triumph Fitness. I'm there. So I go back to work the next day. Now, I'm driving on the freeway, and I hear that there is a Christian acting competition being held in the city, auditions for it. So I go and I compete. And then I earn a spot. So then I go to the big, massive competition where all the LA agents and all the agents all around the world, they come and see it. And there's about 700 people in my, I'm sorry, there's about 500 people in my division. But there are thousands there, 500 in my division. I got runner up to first place out of all these people. And so then 11 agents there wanted to speak to me afterwards. So it was incredible. I'm like, wow, and everything. And Sherwood Pictures was there. Now this is you know, two or three years later afterward, the whole Fireproof thing. So they're down there, and now they didn't see me at all. Because, you know, you get interviews with agents that are there, and Sherwood Pictures was not one of them. So here's where I want to tell you, when God says he has great and mighty things for you, he does. Because what I started to do is, now I'm praying, and I just decided to go ahead and email Erin Bethea. That was the wife in Fireproof. And I emailed her and told her my heart. I said, look, I want to act, but I want to be God's actor. And she said, of all the emails she ever gets, she gets thousands of them, that one stood out. She gave me a call. Long story short, I am now the new guy for Courageous. So that's how I got the Courageous role. You know, and so I audition for it, I get the role, so I do the film, okay? Now, obviously, you can tell there's more to that, but that's irrelevant to the great and mighty things thing. I mean, that was great and mighty, but so I get the role. Now, after getting the role, they started doing these screenings around the country, and they did one here in Los Angeles. An agent in Los Angeles sees the movie before it comes out, and apparently, I impressed her. She calls me, and I don't know how she calls me. I don't know how she finds me. I'm in Kentucky, running a fitness studio, and I get a phone call from an agent in LA. So we're having this conversation. She is telling me, and these are her words now, she just said, I've never seen an actor with that kind of strength who I know is actually a nice guy. Can't believe you pulled that off, because obviously she looked online and saw how I am or whatever. She said, have you ever thought about coming to LA? I said, no. No, I haven't done that. I don't think there's anything for me out there. She said, you might be surprised. Why don't you just think it over? She says, I myself am a Christian, and I lead a ministry at Bel Air Presbyterian Church for actors that are trying to keep their integrity, but they want to act, and I would love to represent you. Would you at least think about it? And I said, okay, but in my mind, I'm telling you, I wasn't going to think about it at all. And then she said, well, you have until, you know, I got about 90 days to think about it. And I'm like, okay, whatever, you know, hang up the phone. And I'm like, you know, it ain't for me. I just didn't think, when I think about, you know, this just didn't even make sense. I got everything going for me here in Kentucky. There's no reason to go out to Los Angeles trying to do anything. So I kind of just dismissed the idea. But, well, let's say I tried to dismiss it because it wouldn't leave my mind. For whatever reason, and guys, I don't know if you know, you should know, you live here. That doesn't happen. To where your major agents call you like that. It just doesn't happen. You fight your heart. I know people 20 years haven't gotten one interview, and they're calling me. So I was kind of impressed and intrigued by that, and it wouldn't leave my mind. It got to the point to where I really couldn't focus. I honestly couldn't focus on my quiet time. You ever try to study the Word of God, but just something else is on your mind? I couldn't focus. I just couldn't focus. I was like, man, this agent thing keeps popping in my head. So then I said, could this be from the Lord? And then the first thing I think to myself is, man, you're just trying to con God into letting you be some kind of actor again. There's no way. So, but I kept wrestling with it. So then I remember this name. One of my clients' name was Tim Hester. Tim Hester was an elder at the church that I went to, Southeast Christian Church. He was an elder there. And he was a guy that knew me very well. He knew everything about me. He was one of my clients. And so I told him about this, and he suggested, guess what he told me to do? Yeah, he did. He said, you should pray about it. And I'm like, okay. But let's look at Philippians. This is the script. Philippians, we talk about it. Philippians 4, chapter 6, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. It says these things. And I'm going to ask you, do you really believe this? It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then, keyword, you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? You got to read that now. Then I'm going to challenge you to do that this weekend. I'm going to make a promise that I'm not going to keep. But I'm going to try and remember to ask you how you deal with that next week. I always say that, never ask. But I want you to try that. It said, pray about what? Worry about what? Can you really do that? Can you pull that off? It's telling you to. I'm challenging you to try. Do you really believe that? Because this is how you get to experience great and mighty things. You'll see where I'm going with it. So I told him I'd pray. But first, before I pray, and this is what we do, we started using our logic again. I said, before I pray, I am going to kind of look at the pros and cons of even considering something like this. So I get a piece of paper, and me and Levette started to write down the pros and cons. I only had one pro, that there's a chance that I could make it as a Christian actor, and then when I get out and get interviews or get an Emmy Award or whatever it is, I can just give God glory the right way type thing, and show Christians that you don't have to put your Christianity on a shelf to make it. You don't have to get dirty to make it. If God wants you to make it, he'll let you. There's plenty of clean films out there. And don't let a dollar amount make you forget about God, and then you try to put the Christian insurance on it and say, I'm going to help the homeless with the money. No, God will help you get it in an honorable way. So that, I'm thinking that was the only pro that I had. But then I looked at the con list, and there's so many, I even had to write them down again. So here we go. I had thousands of dollars of rented gym equipment that would just totally go to waste. I had hundreds of dollars of training sessions that I hadn't given yet. You know, people prepay for their stuff. And this is months and months out. I had 2 years still left on the lease in the building that I was living, that I was renting for the studio, the fitness studio. 2 years left, and it's like $1,000 almost a month, so I, you can't get out of that. I had no idea where I would live if I came here. So now I'm just gonna show up, hey, I'm ready to act. I can't even take a shower. You know, I don't know where I'm living. And then I had no idea how I would make a living, because you gotta do something, you know. And so I decided not to pray. You know, you ever do that? You ever look at all the things that don't make sense about something and just be like, you know, God, what's the point of even praying about something like this? Doesn't it seem obvious that I shouldn't do it? Am I the one who's done something like that? It just looks like, man, so that's what I was doing. So I decided not to pray. I said, this looks ridiculous to even consider. Yet the LA move stayed on my mind to the point where it got annoying. Again, I couldn't do my quiet time. I couldn't focus on anything. I couldn't focus on clients. It was on my head a lot. So I fought to forget about it one night. And any of you guys ever had a migraine before? Raise your hand, migraine sufferers. Is that not the worst headache you could ever have in your life? Now, I was a guy that didn't respect migraines. Like, my wife used to have them all the time. So I got a migraine. Like, just don't want to play the game with me, you know, or you think they're making excuses. I've had headaches before. It can't be that bad. I got one, and I'm not lying to you guys. I don't cry about much of anything. This headache broke me down, and it was because I was wrestling with this LA thing. I could not get it out of my head, and I didn't want to think about it. I said I wasn't going to pray about it. I was fighting not to pray about it, and I got a migraine so bad, I felt like some sort of animal was trying to climb out of my head. And so I literally was almost to tears, and this was a humble thing. I'm like, LaVette, you know, because I know Shella, what do you do for these things or whatever? And she gives me like 9 Advil, almost killed me, you know. She gave me these things. And so I took the medicine, and then I sat up because I couldn't sleep. And I just felt like the Lord was telling me that you need, because that was what was still on my mind. And I'm like, could this be? And then I didn't trust myself. Like, could he really want me to consider this? So I decided I would actually pray about it. So me and LaVette prayed. We prayed for the migraine to go away and stay away, and that if God wants us to do this, he has to make it plain. He has to show us, because there's nothing that says we should do something like this. So we started to pray. I looked at all the things that was in front of me, man. You ready for the great and mighty stuff? Here's what started to happen. The first thing is the gym. We got a lease. Okay, we owe a couple, we've got 2 years on the thing. You don't just walk out of leases. I'm gonna run through this because I knew this was gonna happen. I'm gonna run out of time, but I'm gonna just give you the quick version of this, because there's basically a person who wanted to run a gym came, knocked on our office door. I come out and they tell me that they're looking for a gym and they want one as soon as possible. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I go over to the leasing office and say, hey, if at some point I need to get out of this and these people wanna come in, would that be possible? They say, yep, because you're the only, there's none available. If you leave, that's the one they would get. I say, wow, okay. But I'm like, okay, whatever. That's one thing. Well, look, I got hundreds of dollars of training sessions that I have to give. When people found out that I was thinking about doing Christian ministry out here, like just coming out here, do whatever, winging it, whatever God wanted me to do. They were so inspired that they said, listen, you spend the next few weeks just doing as many sessions as you can with you, your wife, and a few assistants, and whatever you don't get done, then just take it as a gift. Just take it with you. Take it with you, because you're gonna need money when you travel anyway. Just take it. Because remember, everyone knew that this agent had given us like, you know, just a couple of weeks to really, well, a couple of months to make a decision. So I'm like, okay, but I still wasn't necessarily convinced. So then we had all of the equipment. Well, remember I told you, Tim Hester, who has 12 children, bought all of my equipment, all of it, because he didn't want to have to hold me back so that I could come out here. He said, if the Lord wants you out here and that's what he's saying, then I don't want this to be something that stops you. Hey, I can just put it in my house for my kids. And I'm like, that's incredible. Now I'm starting to believe it. I'm like, there's still some things. There's still some things. And I just started looking at my list. I'm like, where would I live if I came? Don't you know that out here in San Bernardino, a guy that I played football with many, many years ago, his mother and father live here. We became really good friends, and they kind of adopted us as our godparents. And when they heard what was going on, they said, well, you know, we got a ranch here. All of our kids are gone. How long did the agent want to give you? 90 days. You can stay here 90 days until you figure it out. Your whole family, just bring everybody. And I'm like, okay, but there was still one thing left. There was a guy that he had thousands invested in his training because he needed knee surgery. He was way overweight. And this would take about 6 months to get him done. I kid you not. He looked on my wall and saw that one of my clients was the only client I've ever trained online. Guess what? She was his dentist. So he goes and asks her how good a job that I do, and she confirmed I was great online. He said, listen, I don't want to be the only thing holding you back. If you promise me you can get this weight off with training me online, I want to see you go too. And I trust you. And we made the guy lose 150 pounds. You know, so we got that done. So after that, hey man, I'm all out of options. There's nothing else. God is showing me great and mighty things. We pack up, we come out here. We came out here with nothing but a van. We just come out here, go to my godparents' house. It was scary, it was weird. So we out here to 90 days, and the goal is to become this actor, right? Man, I got one audition, 90 days. Every penny that I came with was spent because we were still paying bills and things. And so it was getting close to the end of the 90 days, and I looked at my wife and I was like, I don't know what this all meant, but I'm sitting in San Bernardino with no house, with no money, with no direction. I came, I tried, I have faith. I've been praying ever since. Every single morning I was in San Bernardino, I didn't have a job. I studied scripture from 4 a.m. to 8 o'clock every single day. Every single day. Ran through the whole New Testament all over again. Just wanted to hear. Just wanted to make sure I was being guided. Just wanted to make sure, because I hadn't had enough to do. Tell me that. I'm telling you, man, to this day, I know God set that up. I started watching a lot of Francis Chan sermons. I'm a big fan of his, reading all of his books, John Piper, reading all, and I'm seeing their dedication. This is just me trying to pass time. So I'm broke, and I'm like, okay, a couple weeks left. We start packing up, making plans to go back to Kentucky and try to restart this business. I leaped out on faith. And maybe he didn't want me to get here. I don't know, maybe I didn't hear right. Well, there was about 6 weeks left. They asked me to lead a Bible study at my godparents' house before I made any decisions and before I left. I started leading the Bible study. The Bible study was not a fan Bible study. It gets deep into your life. I start telling them, as the leader of it, I tell them what I was struggling with, and I was using how I came there as my faith example for the faith section. I don't think that was a mistake either, because they heard the same story that you heard up until this point. So they're caught up with me. You know, people are kind of like, man, and they knew that I had to go home. Well, actually, we had about 4 weeks left, and it was getting close to where I needed to leave. They didn't want me to go. They wanted me to finish the study. And then they said they think that the Lord wants me here. So don't you know, one of the people in the group owned the condo in Ontario. They put me in it. And they said, I don't know if God's ready for you to leave, but we got a place for you to stay. And then I'm like, well, I don't have any furniture. Everybody in the group starts to bring furniture to my house. You know, saying, no, it's not time yet. Then I get an email, and my agent wants me to speak at Bel Air Presbyterian Church. This is 6 months later. So I'm like, man, I can't leave if I got to speak there. And then God, I go into my emails, and I've got 11 different churches over the next few weeks that asked me to speak at their churches. These 11 churches funded me to be able to stay. The first year that I was here, I didn't work one day of my life. All I spent the whole year doing was studying scripture and preaching around the country. And God kept me right here in Ontario. And I stayed, and I had a house, and people brought all this furniture. And I didn't ask for any of these things. So then finally, I'm sitting here, and I just wanted a church where I could serve. And Dave Stone, my pastor, tweets about you guys. So I decided to come visit this church. So when I come and visit this church and I saw you guys and I saw Pastor Chuck preach and then I saw they needed a college pastor, I just wanted more information about it. I asked for more information about Crossroads and Generate and the college pastor. 12 sermons later, I'm standing here telling you a great and mighty thing story. And that's how I got here. But the whole point of it is, man, if I never would have believed that a great and mighty thing could be done, which I had trouble doing, I never would have got here. I never would have came here. There is no way. I got a responsibility to my family. You don't pack up all your stuff and leave and don't know what's ahead. But because I was praying, the faith that I didn't have, I just felt like the Holy Spirit gave me that faith. The Holy Spirit knew that I needed to be here. So it had a natural attraction to coming here. I would not have been able to do that if I didn't have a close relationship with Jesus Christ, if I was searching scriptures, if I wasn't having faith in him, willing to go ahead and break away from what I knew was comfortable. And then he gave me every single thing that I needed. If you guys wonder why when I say I believe scripture like it says it, when he says do not worry about anything because I know what you need, see, I experienced that firsthand. I had nothing. Everything I had after that, he gave to me from other people that I didn't even know. I never had it on my agenda to come and be a preacher here or a pastor at this church, but it was on God's agenda, and his plan can't be stopped. Everything I tried to do was just a detour, and it landed me right here. So what this tells me is that great and mighty things is nothing for him. It's this mystery to us. I want you to believe that can happen for you. It's not just some cool story. This is a real life person standing here that all I did was trust him. That's the only thing that I can take credit for, is trusting God. That's all I did. And I want you guys to experience your great and mighty things story. Because I'm telling you, man, I didn't need anything. But the thing is, I couldn't see anything ahead. God was truly a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. All I could see was my next step. And that's what I want to see happen for you. All throughout this series, you're going to hear from people who have similar stories, great and mighty stories. I don't want to see you guys sitting there. I don't want to see you leave here and think that these types of stories are just for people like me and people. No, I was sitting in your seat, the seat that didn't want to really believe in prayer. I was sitting in your seat, the seat that didn't think these things could happen to me. But I'm telling you, if you trust God, and you allow him to lead, and you step out on faith, you have a great and mighty story because he wants one for you. Because you can't tell me that people wouldn't want to know more about this God that produced this great and mighty story within you. And I want to see what that story is. I want you to let it come out. But this wouldn't happen without a relationship with Jesus Christ for me. I just know it. I would have just hung on my common sense. So if you don't know Jesus Christ today, I want to give you a chance. I'm gonna give you an opportunity right now to accept him. You can ask him, what is your great and mighty story? What's supposed to happen? If you do have Christ and you just haven't, you're like me, you got a good relationship, but when it comes to that great and mighty stuff, oh man, I don't know about that. Takes too much trust, too much faith. But man, the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. Do you really believe that? I do. So right now, you get an opportunity to exercise that faith. I'm going to pray. Pray with me. And if God is knocking on your heart, which I know he is, it's just all a matter of you answering the knock. You accept him right now. Others of you who have a relationship with him and you just want to increase in this area of faith, you want to be able to see, hey, what's my great and mighty story? What's my great and mighty story? I want to unlock that. And then you pray as well. And then after that, when we stand and when we sing, you make your way down, you head into the living room, and we got decision counselors waiting to talk to you, hear your story, hear what's holding you back from experiencing great and mighty things. What's in your way? We'll get you a Bible, we'll set you up to be baptized, we'll get you on that road to having a tight relationship with Jesus Christ, the only one that can produce great and mighty things. So pray with me right now, and don't ignore the knocking. Father God, I pray for everyone here. I thank you that you allowed them to make it here. I thank you so much for the great and mighty thing that you did in my life, because I get to stand here and do what I'm doing, and I love it, and I know that I'm supposed to be here. But God, I want to pray for the person who doesn't know you right now. And if you're out there right now, pray this prayer with me. I'm so glad that you're here. Say, Father God, I know that you love me, and I know that you died on a cross for my sins. I know that you planned a life for me before I was born that has great and mighty things attached to it. I want to believe in Jeremiah 29:11 that the plans you have for me will prosper. I want to seek you and your wisdom and your plan for my life. I want to have power over sin through the Holy Spirit. I want to be guided in all that I do based on what you have for me. I've struggled enough with living this life. I want to believe that great and mighty things are for me. So please come into my life. I pray that you do that right now. I say yes to your gift of grace. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.